and suspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I am
Dave-licious.
You are Joseph Gillette Erdo. Trish the Dish.
Yay.
Eric the Indecisive. Kathleen the Beautiful. Wow, that's like we got the whole cast in here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean?
That
oh,
ended
yeah?
abruptly.
Oh, that's. But you perfectly did. Said, oh, yeah, right at then.
Yeah. Well, I did.
Nicely
well,
done.
I know. And because I'm really excited about our next guest. He's got a great new film out. And you might know his dad, Chuck Norris. Of course, Walker,
oh, yeah.
Texas Ranger.
I met Chuck once.
You did? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you ever meet his son, Mike?
I don't think I met the son, Mike.
Well, let's introduce you now. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Do you even know who Mike is? That's the thing.
Mike is a
we do
co-writer
now.
And director of a new movie that just came out.
Called Amerageddon.
Yes, Amerageddon. And you know what? First off, I would just like to say like a big thank you to Phoenix and Arizona because... You know, this is a film, Amerageddon, that, you know, it's a very precise subject matter, and we got roadblocked everywhere, and the distributor said, hey, in order for us to distribute this movie, you have to go put it out in 30 theaters. And we go, okay, and we did, and all last week our film was number two in every theater it was in. So I just want to say thank you, especially in Arizona, because we got a lot of support out there, and I really appreciate everybody.
Yeah, you're out of, I think, at least five Harkins, I believe, because I did see it yesterday, actually. I liked it. Give it a big thumbs up. Timely topic. And before we get into this, how come you got roadblocked?
You know, it was just they all kind of understood our message, but they weren't willing to invest. They wanted to see really how committed we were before anybody else got involved.
Hmm.
And sure enough, we've got Sony Pictures now distributing the DVD and the VOD release.
Oh, good for you. Now,
yeah.
So describe a little bit what it's about for the listeners, and let's go into the detail.
You know, what it's about is a false flag EMP attack over our country that knocks out the power grid. And the basic thing is what happens after that. Martial law is declared. They come after the guns. They come after the resources. And, you know, it's just about government overreach and really how corrupt our leaders really are.
You know, that's what I was thinking when I watched it. You know, I've been following this interesting political season. The outrage by many millions and millions and millions of people on both sides, by the way, whether you're traditionally, you know, Donald Trump gets a lot of people that are outraged, sort of Bernie Sanders, a little bit different there, but they have that common bond of they don't like what's going on and they want to change it. So let me ask you this. You know, basically, it's about a world government, you know, this movie. And it's said in the movie it's been going on for 50 years. How much is this truth? I mean, did you do research and you see things like this coming up? And what do we have to be worried about?
Well, you know what? I didn't write the screenplay. My partner, Gary Haven, who's very passionate about just about every detail and every fact that was in that movie. He's the one that wrote the screenplay. And we wrote this 2 years ago, and we were filming in January of last year is when we were filming this. Mm. We had no idea the political climate that was going to happen, you know, 8-9 months later.
Yeah.
So, you know, to us, that's really crazy. And, you know, me personally, I'm a film director. I'm out making films, you know, making a living, trying to put my kids through school. You know, that was where my mentality was. And it wasn't until we really got into the film. And while we were filming, we had these Jade Helm exercises in Texas where they brought in UN troops to, you know, run exercises. And then in the last 6 months, North Korea, I mean, what the heck's going on there? They're launching off things left and right.
Yeah.
And in our film, I don't want to give too much away, but mm-hmm. there is a North Korean nuclear device that kind of comes after us. So, it's very interesting to me how we did all this, and then a lot of these subject matters are coming to the forefront of a lot of discussions now. So, lucky, I guess?
Well, you know, I mean, EMPs have been on people's radar for quite some time. I mean, stopping cars in their tracks and being able to shut down. I mean, that's been something that people have heard about. I'm just wondering if this movie has met a lot of resistance because it hits too close to home and they're afraid that it might really not just be thought-provoking, but maybe end in some panic.
Well, I would hope not. You know, it really was to kind of educate and just put a lot of issues out there within the context of the movie, the National Defense Authorization Act. But in the movie, I think that for me, the key thing with the EMP is what they needed to do was create so much chaos in America that would allow the military and the government to come in and start confiscating weapons and declaring martial law, where, you know, we have no military. It's now it could be anybody, the Russians, the Chinese coming in and fighting on our soil against our citizens. And that's a very, very scary proposition. As far as an EMP could come, you know, in a number of different ways. It could be a solar flare, it could be a cyber attack. But if our power grid were to really go down, that is a horrific thought. I know I am so connected to technology, not so much social media or anything, but just, you know, on my everyday life. And if that were to all end immediately, boy, I think we would have quite a mess on our hands.
No question about it. And that's what it, you know, pretty much demonstrated. It was interesting that it is so close to home now. And I do think while watching this, it, I believe it's going to support a certain candidate's position, actually. It, I mean, I know it's not intended for that. Well, I'm thinking of Donald, actually. Only because it seems like, because as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, wow, if that really happened, you want to start preparing now. Because, in the movie, this isn't a spoiler, like most people just have 3 days of food. But I'm thinking, like, wow, you better get, like, a huge reserve of food, and you better maybe buy a lot of guns, because it's going to be chaos, right?
Absolutely. And I wonder, really, how many states in our country are really, you know, I know in Texas a lot of people this is on their mind, Arizona, Colorado. So, but, I mean, in California, New York, Chicago, oh, my goodness. Just, you know, I personally think people are so afraid or just so in denial over anything, this even being a remote possibility of our power grid going down and the government coming in to confiscate our guns. Now, Hillary's already said, hey, we've got to get rid of the guns, and Bernie, obviously. So I think people need to, and that was our ultimate goal, is just to get people thinking about preparing in whatever way possible. And like we said in the film, the average American only has 3 days of food.
Yeah.
And before this film, I was one of them. I haven't gone to great lengths, but I am prepared enough for, you know, a good month or 2 months. But if somebody were to really come to my door, knock on my door and say, hey, we're here to get your guns, you know, I don't know how I would react.
If they have machine guns and they have, you know, like 12 to 15 people behind them with that are professionally trained, like Marines or Army. In this case, it was the Army. But I don't know. It does create a lot of thinking, and I was doing that all through the movie. You did a great job with that.
Well, thank you. You know, this was, we were just a bunch of Texans. You know, you played the Walker Texas Ranger theme. I mean, all those people came out to help us. We were working on a very limited budget. In a horrible time of the year. It was so doggone cold when we were filming, and I'm just really proud to be associated with this film, because, like I said, you know, it's thought provoking for me also. I went in, you know, thinking I knew more than I really knew, and it's given me a reason to just do a little more research on my end, get a little more involved in my end, and be prepared to protect my family as much as possible.
Well, you know, I'm from California, and Southern California.
Me too.
I actually, when I heard that about the average American has 3 days worth of food, there's a huge push in California to try to get people to at least have 72 hours worth of emergency supplies, because if there was a bigger earthquake or whatever, the statistics have shown it takes a minimum of 72 hours for the resources to come in. And that's in an isolated event for like the Red Cross or other charitable organizations to be there with supplies. But that's one isolated event. That's something in one little part of the country. If something were to happen on a large scale like this, you're going to need way more than 3 days supply. And it was funny because when I went to get some food supplies and storage, because I'm a big believer in having at least a year's supply, it amazed me. I actually had to come to Arizona to be able to purchase some. Costco here had some food storage items, but they didn't have it in San Diego. Go
wow.
figure, right?
Yeah.
But hopefully, I'm hoping that rather than putting people into a panic mode, that this will be more of an eye-opener mode, not just about emergency preparedness, but also to make sure that people exercise their power that they have in the voting booth, but also to make sure that we, you know, don't let something like this, where a globalist terrorist group gets involved with something like the United Nations and decides to overrun our country.
Yeah, and I think this is the first election that the people may actually have a voice in the outcome of this election. Donald Trump has just disseminated everybody just by speaking his truth. He's not bought and paid for by anybody, as far as I could tell yet. You know, he says that he's funding his own campaign. And I've seen it firsthand how much money plays into politics. Just by my partner, Gary Haven, who is very, very well connected in the Republican arena, a very large donor, and he's done. He's seen it, how people will sell their soul for money in Washington. And it's important that people know that. And half the country doesn't even believe it. The other half, they're trying to figure it out right now, I think. And then there's, you know, our group of people that understand it, believe it, research it, and want to try to do something about it. So I think we're in interesting times right now, for sure, with this election. Just kind of curious to see how it all plays out, and really curious to see how it all plays out.
Yeah. And if anyone's just now joining us, I want to remind our listeners that we are speaking with co-writer and director Mike Norris. The film is called Amerageddon. It opened last weekend. It's still playing in theaters. And I want to share this really amazing fact. Amerageddon consistently finished behind Captain America Civil War for a number two finish in each theater where it was shown. The film beat out Money Monster, which we reviewed last week,
wow,
in all but one theater where they finished third.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and now and we weren't really prepared for this, but we're swinging for the fence now. Mm. We've gotten so many calls. We're opening up in 100 more theaters June 3rd. We're coming to California, all the way to Florida. So it really was a beautiful surprise that this is happening. Because, like I said, we were kind of backed in a corner. We had to do something to try to recoup part of our investment on the movie. And, you know, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate people that are coming out to support us. We're not going to win any Oscar or anything like that. And I know it, and everybody that goes and sees it knows it. But just the fact that people understand that we've kind of got a movement, we've kind of got a cause here, that this movie, we could use a movie as a cause, is very, very special to me, and it does not go unnoticed by myself or the people working with us. We're just so pleasantly surprised and so thankful to the people that are coming out to, you know, support this film.
You know, I especially liked Spencer Neville,
yeah.
Neville playing Brandon, the lieutenant, right?
Yeah.
He's an excellent actor. I could see him. You know what? He sort of reminded me of your dad, actually. I mean, he had some really nice moves in terms of martial arts, and he was really good.
And, you know, we were inches away from casting a name actor in that part.
Mm.
And I saw his audition tape in L.A., and I thought, wow. And he had real long hair, very handsome guy, did a great reading. And at the end, they said, are you willing to cut your hair for this part? And he said, absolutely. And for some reason in my gut, I go, that's our guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a name, but I love this kid. And he was just such a joy to work with, so thankful. He really, although his political beliefs may not go along with what this film was about, he was committed. He was totally committed. And just a great joy, and I hope something great happens for him because of this film. I really do.
Well, I see him becoming big because his on-screen communication, nonverbal, plus all the script, his leadership, his loyalty, dedication. This, as I was watching this, I go, this is a guy you'd want to be a friend with because he would have your back every minute of the day.
Yeah, and my favorite line of his in the movie is when the guy comes up with the recording device and says, if anything happens to me, I want you to have this. And just his look, and he goes, I ain't going to let nothing happen to you. It really, it touched me, and it was a beautiful moment. And
he's a tremendous, I just see big things for him. He's just incredible, and that really stuck out. Let's see, Dina Meyer, was she the mom or the young daughter?
No, the young daughter was my daughter, actually.
Oh, Emily, politician, the daughter?
No, that was India Isley. The politician's daughter was India Isley, who was on a number of shows and movies. Very pretty, sweet, sweet girl. Dina Meyer, Diane Ladd, who four-time Academy Award nominee.
Great acting.
I was thinking, there's no way we could ever get Diane Ladd.
Phenomenal. She was the grandma, right?
She read the script and said, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. No, she did a fantastic job. Your daughter, and that's your real daughter, huh?
Yes.
So Emily, excellent. Is that her? How long has she been acting?
She did one other part in another one of my films.
Oh, she's good.
And it was just, I love the experience of working with my father so much on Walker, on a number of things. Mm. It was just so much fun to be able to go see my dad at work. And she was the only one that kind of showed any interest whatsoever, in doing something. Oh. And so I wrote that just for her. And we had a ball. She missed a little bit of soccer and a little bit of school, but it was all good.
Well,
and it was just fun.
There was I won't say the scene because it'll be a spoiler, but, there was one dramatic scene, of course, she was involved with, and where the Army guy came in. And, boy, how she communicated that at the end after what she did was phenomenal acting.
She did such a great job.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so proud of her, and really proud of everybody, because this was by far the toughest film I've done ever.
Great film.
I've done a lot of faith-based dramas. They were all great. They were easy. We'd work 9 hours a day.
Oh.
Day one on this, we went 15 hours, and it was like somebody punched me in the face. I'm like,
You know what? I especially like Cliff. You know who Cliff was?
That was me.
Yeah. All right. Nice job.
And once again, we had Christopher Walken was going to come out and play that part.
Oh, wow.
And And then all of a sudden he had a scheduling conflict. He couldn't do it. And I'm going, you know what? I'll do it. The good thing is, while I was editing, I was going, oh, boy, Mike, you've put on a little weight. So as I was editing the movie, I lost 50 pounds. So I'm really happy about that.
Oh, good for you. Wow, excellent, Trisha. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we let you go.
Yes, ma'am.
I love this fun fact. Who taught you to ride a motorcycle?
Steve McQueen.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, man.
Steve McQueen's the one that got my father to start making movies.
Yeah. Oh, can you? And I am so grateful to him because I tell you, I know this sounds really stupid, but I really enjoy your father in film. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even picture him as an actor, and I know that it was later in life that Steve McQueen got him into it.
Yeah,
because of the failure of the karate
time,
schools.
But for another show, I got great stories about all that.
Wow, yeah, we're definitely going to have you on again.
Life is so serendipitous, though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. All of the things that had to come into play for you to be at this place at this time to make this film.
Absolutely, and not a day goes by that I am not I do not notice that, and I'm very grateful and very thankful.
Well, I recommend it. Big thumbs up. Definitely get out and see that.
Amerigeddon.
It's I know in Phoenix, all our listeners, it's at least I think 4 or 5 Harkins.
Yeah.
Maybe AMC. I haven't checked that, but I think it's Harkins.
I think it's Harkins.
Definitely get tonight. See it tonight.
And this
or
is
Sunday.
Yeah. And it's not a propaganda movie for the NRA or anything like that. It's a thought provoking.
Yeah. Whether you agree or not agree, but to me, it seems like there are possibilities of what that movie was about. And if there is, you better start thinking about it and appropriately, not only yourself prepare, but think of, you know, the political aspects and ramifications, who should be in Congress, who should be a Senate, and who should be, you know, who do you vote for? So, you know, and that's often a tough choice, but.
Or even just to understand why your neighbors may do what they do.
And get involved. Maybe that's the better answer. Just get involved, and no matter what side you're on. So,
yeah. Co-writer, director Mike Norris, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, earlier in our last segment, we had someone who was doing Mark Wahlberg's voice. And so I can't do it as well. But, of course, Mark Wahlberg is known for saying, say hi to your mother for me. So, you know, so we're going to say, Mike, say hi to your father for us, okay?
Yeah.
Say hi to your father.
I'll do it. Thanks,
well, and
guys,
congratulations.
So
thank you.
Out there. I appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
Bye. Talk to you again soon. And, of course, we're gonna take a break, and we have to hear the full version of Walker, Texas Ranger.
I love that one. I love that show.
Yeah?
I did. I don't know. I really enjoyed that show.
Yeah, the Eyes of a Ranger. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with reviews of Manhattan Nights
and Neighbors
review of The Neighbors 2.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix. We'll be right back.
When you're in Texas, look behind you. Cause that's where the Ranger's going to be. If you see him coming round the outskirts of town.